Welcome into This Week in Missouri Politics Midweek Update. Appreciate everyone's time. Last week, we skipped a week because we had our big celebration, our Statesman of the Year event, our biggest event of the year. We honored Senator J.J. Rizzo. Let me speak for a minute about that. There are some folks that had some thoughts about our Statesman of the Year event. I'll tell you how I came to that, to honoring Senator Rizzo. Obviously, number one, if you talk to people, and they tell you that J.J. Rizzo isn't eminently respected in the Capitol, then you're talking to dumb people that don't know what they're talking about. Republicans, Democrats, there's not a place in the Capitol where John Rizzo doesn't have total respect of all of his colleagues and peers. And it was an honor to get to honor him. So some folks, I mean, it's as well as things like, there's a couple things about me that whenever someone wants to whine or complain about me or whatever, they'll throw at me. And I've just learned to deal with them. And I hate to say this, but it doesn't really particularly bother me at this point. It probably should, but it just doesn't. So he was elected, I think it was it 10? I think he was elected in 10. And so there was a dispute. And I guess later they found out that maybe there was the votes were off or whatever, or there was some fraud. I assume the folks that are quoting these court cases know what they're talking about. However, that was years later. The truth is, I'll address Senator Rizzo was, and I heard one person that particularly piqued my interest that was complaining about it. Senator Rizzo was ultimately not put in office by an election board or a court or a party. Well, I guess it was a party. Senator Rizzo was put in office because the way this works is if the seat is still, contested, if there's no declared winner by the time the election's over and the House convenes, the House can seat its own members, right? It can pick its own folks. So he picked the Missouri House of Representatives, looked at the facts of the case. This is, I believe, a 105 member Republican majority House, and they seated J.J. Rizzo. I don't remember the number, but it was overwhelming. And the interesting part is they seated J.J. Rizzo, 105 member Republican majority, and the speaker of that 105 member Republican majority was one Steve Tilley, who is the largest supporter of the Secretary of State's campaign for governor today. I would say, I don't know the other, I don't even know his name, couldn't remember his name. I don't know how it all fleshed out. With most of these things, you never really know for sure. I mean, I even get the government involved. If you trust the government, one, you're a fool, but who knows what actually happened. I certainly wouldn't begin to tell you that I do. But I would say however it shook out, the state's been served pretty darn well by Senator Rizzo. So it was an honor to honor him. I thought it was great. It was kind of the deciding thing. If you read, usually when something happens, I take time and actually talk to the people involved and write a story about it. And I wrote a story about how session ended, you know, it ended a day early. And when it ended a day early, it was funny. The most trusted person by both wings of the Republican Party out of their own mouths was the Democratic leader. It was the definition of a statesman, and it's why he was selected. And I thought he did a hell of a job. I thought he's done a hell of a job. And I hope, you know, term limits has some good things, but boy, one of the rough things is I would hate to be the person who has to go replace Senator J.J. Rizzo. That said, let's talk about the what happened in the days after. So I talked to you before about Senator Moon. Senator Moon's interesting guy. I told you the most interesting guy this session is Tony Lukemire. Second most interesting guy this session is Mike Moon. Mike Moon, interesting thing. Mike's an interesting guy. You'll never meet a bigger gentleman than Mike Moon, which will surprise some of you, but it's just the truth. Mike Moon is a consummate gentleman and a great guy. He has the thing about Mike Moon, like every party, when I say things like this, it's almost like some people, I guess they're liberal, think, well, you know, my party isn't just liberal and doesn't just preen for the camera. Well, no. Your party totally is very liberal or conservative or whatever, and totally does this attention. A lot of folks take these social issues. I mean, here's the truth. Here's your Jeff City truth, right? In Jeff City, you have major issues that move millions, billions of dollars. that affect every aspect of the state. Oh, sorry, by the way, you're from a construction site here. We're going to make these midweek updates awesome. So we're taking spring break to a little construction. Kelton picked the wrong day to wear his black pants, right? But I've told you before, this studio and stuff, I might write a check, but it's Kelton that's actually made this stuff awesome. He's really came through, but we're a little construction, little hole there. I guess we can pass notes through the wall or whatever. But Cinder Moon, what I was saying is, you have folks that don't really mean some of this stuff. Usually the social issues are what they give to certain people. So they'll kind of go away so they can do major business things or major policies for the state that affect the business community and affect your ability to make a living, hopefully to make a better living. Social issues are kind of something they give to folks just to sort of go away sometimes. Mike Moon, Carrot, and a lot of times the social issues are things that are done just for people on, frankly, social media to be distracted by. So Mike Moon means it. It is something very serious to him. It is not a joke. It is not a game. It is not something he does just to pass the time for folks. He actually is very, very sincere about the social issue stuff. And I give a short runway to people that are using it just to manipulate the dumber folks. They can manipulate with this stuff and fake it. I give a long runway for people that mean it. I come from a place that I have a mother who definitely follows these things, and she means it. And I respect people that do mean it. He does. So he has a bill about transgenders. I think the sports bill is going to pass. Senator Rader, I think, is carrying it. They talked about combining them. Then Senator Moon had the other bill with my carbonar pencil here. He had the other bill, right? Big deal, big bill. It talked about surgeries. It talked about therapy. It talked about people in school talking about it with folks. It talked about something called puberty blockers, where it ended up. I've talked to you about this before. Senator Moon, his bill was pretty much the transgender bill Armageddon or Palooza or whatever. However, I guess from your point of view, this bill had a lot in it. Most Republicans would vote for this bill, I think, if it come to a vote. Most Democrats would not. But here, let me get into the so. I'll give you how the conventional wisdom is from the gallery where I was sitting, and you could take it from there. Senator Moon has done some great work as a senator this year. I think it's underrated how much Senator Carter has helped Senator Moon. I think the two of them sharing some of their experiences has really helped both of them. And I think Senator Moon's a better senator this year. And I think a lot of that people don't realize. I think Joe Carter's been helpful to him. But Senator Moon does. I told you about an apology he made. The first time this bill was brought up and laid over, it didn't have the votes, right? Now, didn't have the votes, could be didn't have 18, could be didn't have the votes to PQ it, could be didn't have, well, I'm not sure. But Senator O'Loughlin has normally 2 months in, 2.5 months in, you would question a floor leader's counting. However, her early success has made it to where if she says something, nobody in the room asks a lot of questions. She pretty much has her, I don't say bluff in, but she's kind of earned her spurs early. So the next part of this would be it was laid over. He got a little heated, I think. He apologized. The way Mike Moon would apologize, some sort of Roman story about Roman gladiators or something, or a monk in the gladiators. I didn't follow the whole story, but it basically said I got a little worked up. I told you when this happened, that was quite a senatorial move. Kind of thing you don't expect from him, kind of thing he doesn't do in the past. So basically told your bill to be brought back up. So he went and found votes that he had, right? And so they move on. So here's the thing. So the last week before spring break is usually a week because they normally will go to the house bills when they come back from spring break. They usually don't do any house bills before spring break. So they have this Senate bill. And if you don't have enough votes to PQ it, you don't have enough votes for emergency clause for sure. So it doesn't really matter if your bill passes on March 1st or January 10th, the Senate, that is, or whenever. If it doesn't have an emergency clause, it doesn't go into effect till August 28th anyway. And if it doesn't, if it doesn't pass the House until the end of session, which would most bills do, that's when the reason they do this with the governor can take some time on bill review and find problems and things in these bills. So most bills go into effect August 28th, right? If you pass one early enough in session, the governor's forced to do something with it. But for the most part, these bills will pass the last couple weeks of session. There'll be deals worked out. The way that the gentleman's agreement's been, the bill's perfected in third read. And the House version is pretty similar. There'll be a deal and they'll honor it. They'll move on. Because keep in mind, here's the thing. Everybody else has their bills. They want to get passed too. So it's kind of a trade-off. So, but looking back at it, you have, so Senator Moon wants his bill brought up Tuesday night. Well, they adjourned to go to the deal for Senator Rizzo. Here's the thing about a filibuster. The way I've seen this work, don't act like I'm Scotty, like busybody. But the way I've seen this work is the filibuster happens. And if there is an endless date, like if they go to a bill at 5 o'clock Monday evening, you don't know when this thing could end. It could go till Thursday or longer sometimes, but it could go forever. Everybody knew Thursday at noon, people were leaving. A similar bill to this died last year. Maybe it was just a sports bill. It was brought up on Thursday for perfection. It was filibustered until guess what? For those of you that know this, it'd be boring for those of you who don't. Maybe for those of you that know this, you can put in the comments where I'm wrong. But the way this will work is you have to have a quorum. So remember, Senator Shee was always the queen of the quorum call. So you make a quorum call. Mr. President, I noticed the absence of a quorum. You have to have 18 senators in the room, right? You usually stay. Dr. Shoff used to make a quorum call and leave the room. But you have to come back in because you hold the floor, or I guess you could lose the floor. So it's a dicey game. So they have to have 17 members of the other party or just senators. Usually your own a quorum call, other Democrats don't really answer unless a deal has been worked out in advance. So if you have an end date for a filibuster, they don't have to have a quorum. The Republicans do. So everybody knew Thursday people would leave. It was spring break. They planned family trips long in advance. Keep in mind, you have people that are out of their homes. They're with their home. They're home from summer, fall, winter. Then in January, they leave for 4 days and 3 nights. And they come back. They have 1 week off in the middle that people usually want to spend with their families. In this case, that was certainly the way it was for most folks. The Republicans would have lost their quorum. So the Democrats knew when they go to the bill, like Wednesday, Kelton guessed they went to that bill around 4 or 5, something like that. They had to filibuster. I think they've been going in at 1, which is kind of an improvement on the Senate's productivity instead of going for a little bit and stopping. And because again, if you know there's a stop date, like when committees are going to meet, you get much easier to filibuster. So they go in at 1, let's say they get to this bill by 2, they filibuster all afternoon, right? Very easy, because if you're a Democrat, you know, you just take your schedule and say, okay, at noon, they'll start to lose a quorum, right? So we'll all stay here through the evening till about 8 or 9, and then they do a sleep schedule. And their sleep schedule has to have 2 people on the floor. You need somebody to inquire with, maybe a backup, maybe the floor leader. Rizzo usually stays because he's the leader. So you have 10 Democrats, right? So let's just game this through. If at 10 o'clock, you start the sleep schedule, and people can go sleep for 6 hours. Some people may leave at 9 to sleep and be back at 5. Just think about it. You get 6 hours of sleep. You get to go home. You get to rest, take a shower, whatever, show back up. And you have to have 2 people on the floor. So you usually start with, like, you'd have Brian Williams and Steve Roberts go late. You'd have your younger folks usually go later. You can do a thing to get to noon, and you know this is over. So you're going to have 4 or 5 Democrats at the most are going to be a little bleary-eyed and tired. Well, you'll have Rizzo, and then you'd have whoever had the graveyard shift just couldn't go to bed, go to sleep after, probably sticks around. But you're going to have half a dozen Democrats fresh today. They're going to go get a normal night's sleep and show back up. You're going to have 18 Republicans on a sleep schedule. So they have to stay the whole time. Now they'll go to their office. So a quorum call is the absence of a quorum. Nobody really makes one unless they think there might be an absence, you know, of the 18. So the point would be, they're going to know, the Democrats, when this bill's be going to lose a quorum. Senator Moon, I think, he made a bit of a mistake, I think. And again, this comes back to the rules. He laid his bill over the last time so they could dismiss and move on. This time, I think it was laid over again. So it's on the informal calendar. You have to go to that. You'll have to have the consent of the body to go to that. Senator O'Loughlin will have to decide that. It'll be interesting to see. Right now, the status of his bill is it's laid over. And they had a caucus meeting where, look, the point was, what is the point of filibustering all night if we know we're going to leave and they know we're going to leave, right? If the Republicans know that they're leaving, the Democrats know that the Republicans are leaving. So what is the actual point of staying all night? Well, all you're going to do is force Republicans to stay for nothing. And you start to watch that next morning about 8. There's some Republicans this isn't that big a deal to, and they'll just start to leave. And some Republicans will truly have family things. And you know, they're probably not going to give in March on a bill that's going to go into effect April 28th almost regardless. It's not going to matter. What I think you'd see happen here is, but Senator Moon, who had done some great work moving his bill through, he kind of knew when to push and pull. There was some definite growth. He let Caleb Rowden, frankly, negotiate a lot of this, which is also very smart. Caleb's job to handle some of these things. I think Caleb Rowden did a great job negotiating this bill. If you look, the Democrats have gave a lot. And so kudos to Senator Rowden, Senator Rizzo, Senator Razor, Senator Moon. But I think letting Caleb Rowden do some of that was smart by Mike Moon. Because again, Mike Moon truly wants to see this done. It's not a thing with Mike Moon. And I say this, I don't say this about a lot of folks. He truly isn't gaming something. It's not a thing to get reelected. It's not a thing to get some likes on Facebook. He actually believes this. Whatever you think of the policy, which reasonable people could think whatever they want, he's not screwing with you, right? He actually believes this. So I view that in a different way than a lot of other stuff. You know what I mean? If it's just some screwball thing, well, okay. But that's not the case with Mike Moon. He actually believes this is what the state should do. So anyhow, as we go along, there was a discussion in caucus. You had a lot of folks said there's no point to do this, right? This is silly. Why are we going to stay up all night, tick off everyone for nothing? Which this bill would not have been perfected before spring break. It was close. The negotiations were close. The part I thought was interesting was, why not just go to the bill till back to the bill? Well, the Democrats filibuster till 9 or 10. Come back the next day and third, read a couple things and go home for spring break. I don't know the reason for that. If you ask one Republican senator, hear one thing. If you ask another, you hear another. I think that nobody really wanted to go home for spring break early. They're going home for a week anyway. You think about this. Let's say you're Rusty Black. Kelton, how far is Chillicothe College from here? About an hour and a half, something like that. So an hour and a half, right? So it's already, what, 6:30, 7 o'clock? By the time Rusty Black got home, got his stuff packed up, he wasn't planning on leaving, so he's going to his apartment. So let's say if it's 7:30, he's on the road by 8:30, he's home by 10. It's not like there's a big difference between getting home at 10 p.m. or getting home at noon the next day, right? It's just not that big a difference. Nobody had plans that Thursday, so there was no eagerness to go home. I mean, it's one of those things where by the time most folks got home, it was going to be late at night anyway. So it just wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know why they didn't stay and do that, but they didn't. So the state of play is now, I hated this for Senator Moon. I read his cap. I read a letter he put out. And it basically said, let's PQ this if we have to. And I always think, even in a matter that's important, like this is a big deal. What you do with this issue is a big deal. And he really cares. It's not a game. Your issue's never bigger than the Senate. And the folks that think their issue's bigger than the Senate are dangerous folks. And I hate that for Senator Moon that he's come to the conclusion that his issue of the day, whatever it is bigger than the state Senate. And I think he's done such great work. It's almost one of those things where you'd hate to see him, I hate to say blow it because it sounds a little condescending, but you'd hate to see all the work he's done to move this bill the right way, to bring folks on board. You'd hate to see it blow up with something like that now. And that has a lot of repercussions. I mean, there's some folks that benefit from the Senate blowing up in a PQ. I think that the leadership, the people of the state are not one of them. But you hate that because he's done such a great job. And I think starting to change people's view of him if they were detractors. But forcing a PQ, boy, it'd be is really this issue bigger than the state Senate? I don't know. That's obviously up to the interpretation of folks, and Mike Moon was elected to the state Senate, so he's got a right to say before everyone but 33 other Missourians. So they say they're going to go. Mike Moon says he's got to commit to go back to the bill. I've not heard that, so we'll see. Maybe he does. I mean, it could totally be. If there's not a compromise, we'll talk next week about what that means for the rest of session, especially for the budget. The budget will have major consequences. If that goes awry, it'll be a challenging time in Jeff City. PQs are always the worst thing you could do. If you, whatever form of government, whatever government policies you think would be the worst for the state of Missouri, if there was a PQ, if the state senate was degraded, it was denigrated, you will have that in your children's lifetime will have that. It will destroy this state, our institutions, our traditions. It will be the worst thing ever. I promise you. Just because you're a Republican today and you think, oh, I'll get all my things I want, you will. But one thing I know for sure, ask Jim Crider, ask Jim Matheson if you could. He'd tell you a funny story. The pendulum swings, and it'll swing right back, and you or your children will face the government you hate the most. Our show me state motto, make it work. Make it make sense. Show me. Make folks show me. That's served this state so very well, and I think it will serve this state so very well again, unless the leaders of our state screw it up. So my soapbox on PQs, you know what I think about them. Let's take questions. Okay, I got like 12 here. Okay, Chris Lonsdale, representative. I don't know how people vote and why. I know a little bit of his district just because I'm familiar with it. Sylvie's old state senate district. He's at the north end of it. Some of it's in, I don't know if it's all in, I guess it's all in that new 21st Senate district, but it used to be in Dan Hageman's district, the north end of Clay County did. TJ Berry used to represent that part of it. So Chris, you know, the open enrollment bill is interesting to me. There's two arguments here. For open enrollment, I think if a school, I like giving school boards options. I just believe that you by and large get more people. I agree with Ronald Reagan. You know, government governs local, governs best, not some bureaucrat in a far off gray capital somewhere. I know that makes me not a Republican anymore, but I just think you have a much better chance of getting seven or four of seven school board members to have some common sense than you do of getting a bunch of legislators in a far off capital from all over the state. I just think that folks back in Wright County are better served by their local school boards than they are the state making policies they have to take. Just my opinion. The local control bill, a lot of extra seats, you can let other folks have them. Now, I think they put in some of that ESA scam stuff. Somehow, like if you're left-handed and can hold your breath underwater for 45 seconds and you're from the suburbs and somehow your little precious feelings have been offended, you can somehow get some ESA money somehow. I don't know. Somehow WashU makes a dollar. I'm not totally sure. I don't know. I think every time a suburban writes something mean on Twitter, WashU castrates a kid. Anyhow, it's a complex bill, but essentially, if you want to go to a school, right, and they have some extra seats that they want to let you, they'll let you, and the state will pay you a little more for your trouble. Seems like a fine idea. Give schools the ability. The problem with that is, Kelton, I'm going to give you a prediction here. Oh, you can see in our dumbed down studio here, we only have Herzog. If we had Bush, Bond, and Blunt in office, oh my God. Can you imagine a better lineup for Missouri held by Whitey Herzog himself? Kelton, if they pass open enrollment, right? Education reform, as they say in the suburbs. Will the suburban people not whine and cry in constantly all the time? They will whine and cry all the time. They always do. Write it down. They always have. They will complain. They will whine. They will want more. The ESA thing, this wonderful ESA program that is so wonderful, we're still 3 years away from knowing if we had any success from it. That was supposed to be the thing. Okay, great, momentous day. Now we'll leave you alone for a while. Did they leave folks alone, Kelton? No, not even for a second. And they're not going to. And you're kidding yourself if you think they are. However, Brad Pollitt knows schools. Brad Pollitt's a cattleman. Speaking of cattleman, Deering hat. I thought his bill made sense. I didn't see the problem with letting school districts do things. I don't know. So Lonsdale, I guess, voted against it. Fine, whatever. Reasonable people could definitely. I mean, it is something that is reasonable people could be on both sides of it. There's no doubt. It passed by a small margin, and good, right? Try it, see how it works. Be from the show me state. It's a small change from the show me state. See how that works. If it works well, maybe you do more of it, right? I don't know. Made some sense to me. I have a different prediction than Brad. I think where some folks think, well, you're going to rush the city schools because they have more programs. I actually don't think so. And maybe this is because I have a bias because I'm from an area where Poplar Bluff's the big town. I'm from Stringtown, which we go to Neelyville schools. I think you're going to see a rush from Poplar Bluff to East Carter, to Greenville, to Puxico, to Twin Rivers, to Neelyville, to Naylor, to Donovan. I think you may see the opposite. Now, it's probably a multitude of factors that's going to go into that. But I remember I was the class president of about 65 Tigers. Half a dozen of them were from Poplar Bluff. They lived with their grandma or a friend from church or whatever. And nobody, we all knew, nobody said anything. It was fine. They wanted a different type of school. So they came to rule the rules. I don't remember people falsifying their address to go to Poplar Bluff. Now, maybe that's changed since I've been gone. I am, as you can see, these gray hairs here. It's been 20 years, but I we'll see. The cool thing about some of this stuff is we'll see. It's a small change. So if we see it's really bad, well, people can, it's not going to hurt too much and you can make an adjustment. If you dive all the way in, like you're from, I don't know, California, well, then it'll be bad. Question two. So I guess Lonsdale Polk Keller, who's so funny, he's just hilarious. I love Greg. I tell you, he's a son of a bitch to argue with when he knows he's wrong or knows he's right. He's way worse to argue with when he knows he's wrong. And so Lonsdale poked him, and so Greg had some good fun. This is my tip for folks. If you see an issue that you think that you have a passionate thought on, this is not just for a politician, this is for anybody. Don't poke the locals too much. I personally just have a high regard for most of the people that are professionally working on the side of the charter school stuff. I just think they're very professional people that, I mean, the fact is, I think this movement has made this stride it's made because of the people that they've hired to make their case. The credibility of them has been so strong, it's transferred to the issue. You're not going to hear me throwing a fit about people that are, you're not going to hear me throwing fits about people who are personally in it. That's where I would go. Now, California Corey, that's funny to me. Now you can poke fun and go back and forth, but that would be how I would handle it. And with Keller, I mean, look, if you're gonna go with Greg, don't get emotional, right? Just you're gonna go back and forth. He's gonna have fun with it. Have fun with it. Don't take yourself too seriously. And no, he's gonna give you hell and you have to give it back. And that's just the way it goes. But Greg's got probably the fastest gun in the West on that Twitter account. I especially on this is he knows he's wrong. It's even harder to argue with him. But anyhow, he's a good old boy. Look, Lonzo, vote how he wants, right? It's just like you know, whoever can vote like they want to vote. I mean, I always felt like it's up to you how you vote. Now don't then come and say you're some big proponent of rural education or the rural way of life if you're then gonna ship money to California with these charter schools or throw money at WashU. Don't say, here's the thing I've always pointed out is hypocrisy here. You can say you're anti-woke, and that's fine. You can be woke, and that's fine to me. Rasheen Aldridge was the charter school legislator of the year last year, I think. I mean, Rasheen will tell you he's woke. I mean, he's very much an activist from the black community. And, you know, he represents his constituents very well, and they approve of him and support him. And I think he may be one of the only ones that came in second in that kind of odd voting they have in St. Louis. I think he may be the ones that after the dust settles, flips and runs ahead and wins an alderman seat, which is great. The city would be better to have a guy like Rasheen. Rasheen's a good guy. But he's very woke, right? So it's very normal for him to want to see places like WashU do better and all those. I mean, that just makes sense to me. What's odd to me is you get people say Charles County talking about how they're not woke. Then they want to throw money at WashU. They say they want to do all these transgender laws, but then they want to throw money at the people. I mean, here's the question I would have. I tell you what, someone asked me who is Corey and why do you give him grief? He will now forever be known as St. Charles County keynote speaker. So it's St. Charles County. They could not find anyone from St. Charles County they wanted to have be the speaker. They couldn't find anyone in Missouri they wanted to be the speaker. They had to go to California and get California Corey to be the speaker. This is the most Republican person they could find in St. Charles County. I swear to God. Only St. Charles County. It is the California of Missouri. It is the Austin of Missouri. Lincoln. When I think Lincoln Day, I don't think that guy, right? But good for them. It really does fit them as a people and as a culture. Yeah. I mean, remember the poll? Nobody thought it was anywhere in rural Missouri. That cat is a St. Charles, St. Louis old boy. And if you think that that old boy flies in here from Washington or California to do something good for your school, you are a fool. And I have some oceanfront property in Dexter I think you'd be interested in. The truth is, it breaks down to this. And I love Keller. There's no idea from a 202 phone number Keller doesn't like, ever. It's like some of these people that move here. I'm like, why did you move here if you hate everything about it? Why don't you go move somewhere that you like, you know? I like Missouri. I'm a conservative because I don't think you need to change that much. It's pretty great. I don't change much of anything about Missouri. I think it's all outstanding. That makes me, I guess, a liberal now because I don't support Wash U. I need to get me a Wash U. Kelton, can you write down, I need to get a Wash U like sweater or something so that I can be supportive of Wash U and I can be a good Republican because I support the very, very conservative Wash U. My bad. Could you maybe make a note of that? Obviously I'll need a portly size. I need a big one. I need a big boy one. Maybe Cornejo's got one before he lost weight. He loaned me. He went there. But the truth is the poll for next week should be what is more exciting to a suburban Republican, Jenna Jameson or a call from a 202 area code? Which one do you think, Kelton? 202 area code all day long. Any idea from Washington, they just can't wait to screw this state and just love it. Golden showers then would be text from a 202 number. They just love them. They love them. They hate 573 numbers. Hate them. The 313-636 folks, they hate 573 people. They want to clean us out of their shoes. But a 202 number, oh my God, stop traffic. They love 202s. A 660, no. 417, well, maybe a little bit around the Vanderbilt. That's about it. But a 660 or a 573 number, they just loathe it. They just hate it. But you give a 314-636 number a 202, and oh my God. I think probably they haven't programmed to where it automatically disconnects from a 573 call if a 202 call comes in. It's just they just love them. They detest the state they represent. And they love this cesspool of Washington. Any jerk off in this guy right here, this is what they think is good. They think this Mike Parson doesn't know anything about Missouri. He's awful. This guy right here is the guy they want. Bizarro times we live in. It's been building this for a while though. So that's the truth. So Keller and Chris, I mean, you know, if they had a beer, they'd be friends. I would tell all of you, don't single out, you know, Missouri people, because there's a lot of issues out there, unless you want to bring heat, right? And so I happen to love Keller, even though he does want to end high school football in favor of, I guess, chemical castration at his Wash U pals. We should get Keller one too. Well, I don't know. He's in good shape. Keller might be he's probably a large, right? We should get, I'm sure Keller knows where to get all the Wash U gear, right? Because that's his people. Well, you'll be great, Kelton, if next week, all right, guys, by the end of session, we are going to, as a community, we're going to give Kelton a test. This is going to tell, and there's a raise involved in this, by the way. Right, Whitey? Right. You ever seen College Game Day? So what we should do is, and I'll wear this in the state senate, we should get one of those, pardon the interruption, they have the signs they hold up for Mike Parson. Can you make me a Mike Parson one to hold up? And then, like on College Game Day at the end, Lee Corso puts the hat on. Can you find me a Wash U Bears hat? And I'll just wear it in the state senate, and I'll just predict that the vote's going to come out. Is it going to come out from Missouri? We'll get a Mike Parson thing. Or Wash U, and we'll just be like Lee Corso, and we'll wave to Keller, and we'll FaceTime him. It'll be great. So just so we all know, I just want to all be clear, raise for Kelton if he can find me an old mascot of the Wash U Bear. Even if you can find me on like eBay or somewhere, a bear mascot that we can sew a Wash U hat on. I don't know what I don't really know what the Wash U mascot looks like, but I do know it's a bear because someone sent me the fight song, some suburban Republican. And I'm not saying sub like they're subs, but, you know, someone sent me the fight song because they saw somebody tweeting about how they wanted to send money to California Corey. And they sent me the Wash U fight song, which is appropriate. But anyhow, Kelton, if you could find that, I want everybody here to know, Ray's, if he can find me either an old Wash U Bear mascot hat, like head, or one that we could somehow credibly make into that, like whatever that looks like. I don't even know what that looks like. Do they have mascots at like Ivy League junior schools? Oh yeah, that's perfect. It was like Smokey the Bear and Dracula had like a pain baby or something. So good times. No show this week. We are off spring breaking, doing some construction. Got my trusty. I tell you what, guys, I have never had a bad cut wearing a cattleman's hat ever. Write that down. Never had a bad cut ever wearing that. Nelly's coming to the state fair. Big doings. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to our St. Louis studio. And we are going to interview Ben Brown, the new senator. I think he's cousins with Justin, right? They're not brothers. They're cousins. Yeah, one of the two. We'll see you. We'll see you not this Sunday. We'll see you next time. We're going to see you right here. Kelvin, we have a nicer look. We're going to have maybe by then we'll have our stuff kind of put together here a little bit, maybe, hopefully. That's possible. Next time on This Week in Missouri Politics, you're going to see us with our stuff kind of coming together here in the office, but for sure in 2 weeks. We'll see you next Sunday from our St. Louis studios for This Week in Missouri Politics. And we will be back here next week for a Movie Update. Last thing I'll say, I have two cash bets out there. Two cash bets. Cash bet number one. If you go, get your phone out right now. Put this on speaker. Look and see if you can book a room at the Marriott right now for next week. You can't because it's the best hotel in Jeff City. It's where everybody goes. You all know this. I've been telling you this. So if you're coming next week and you haven't got your room yet, you're probably going to be like on a bus station, like on the couch there or the rail, or you'll be in like a park bench, or you're going to go somewhere even lower, which would be a hotel in Jeff City. It's not the Marriott. But if you're coming in 2 weeks, get on right now. And if you look on whatever sites, I say just go to Marriott.com. Look at the Jeff City one. But you go to whatever site you like. If the other room is within $20 and you book the Marriott. And if it's not $40 better, you come see me. I will give you the 225 Madison Street. I will on the midweek update present you with your $20 and call you a fool. If it's not, you owe me a Bud Light, right? And then, of course, with Keller, if California Corey has it's the anthem of the cuck. It's his little chant that he does. It could not be more effeminate. There's nothing I've ever heard as effeminate. We fund systems, not something or other. If you can get Keller saying that, $100 to you, a charity of your choice, you want me to give it to Kelton? Well, whatever you want me to do. You want me to give it in tuition money over on the east side in St. Louis? Whatever you want me to do, $100 is yours. If you can catch Keller saying the ultimate chant of effeminate cuckdom, please do that, and you'll make my day. I promise you, I will get more than $100 worth of fun. It'll be our sign off on every one of these shows for as long as it makes me laugh, which will be a long time, I promise you. So, but seriously, $20 if the Marriott's not better, $100 if you can get Keller basically saying he's a cuck. That would be the funniest thing of all time. I've got to get in better shape, Kelton, for obvious reasons, but two, I might not be in physical condition because of how hard I'll be laughing at Keller if they catch him saying that. I mean, we will not, hey, one rule, you cannot play that for Keller's kids. You don't want them to see their dad like that. So that is the one rule. If we have the video, I will pay the $100, but seriously, whoever tapes this, you do not show that to his kids. He does that. They don't deserve that. His wife knows probably about whatever, but you do not, we will not play that for his kids. That's just not Christian. $100. We'll be back here. I got to get back to sawing and cutting. And I got this hole, as I see on the screen, I got to fill in. We'll come up with something to do with that. Guys, thank you so much. I always say the Statesman of the Year event. If you watch this video, if you watch your television show, you click on a link, you come to our events, very, 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 very grateful to you. We are blessed beyond measure, and I very much appreciate it. See you next week right here in the streaming studio. This Week in Missouri Politics, Midweek Update.